Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book known as the Acts of the Apostles, written by St. Luke. It will be chapter 9, verses 1 through 16. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ah, Dr. Luke, come, sit down. The brothers and sisters in the church told me you wanted to interview me about my recollections of the Apostle Paul. So, here you are, and here I am. So you want to talk to me about Paul the Apostle? I remember the first time I heard the name. He was Saul of Tarsus then, before he went by his Roman name, Paul. Saul was a brilliant young Pharisee. He was educated by the most respected teacher in Israel, Gamaliel. He had a reputation for zeal and lucid thinking. He was an up and rising religious star, anxious to make a name for himself. Perhaps that's why he so violently persecuted the church. As for my testimony, I was living in Jerusalem when I heard about Jesus' tomb being empty. I heard the preaching of Peter, who said that Jesus had been raised from the dead and that he had seen him alive. I saw signs and wonders performed in the name of Jesus, so I believed. I believed he was the Messiah, and I followed a group of people that were known as the Way. And then there was that terrible day when they arrested Stephen, and while he was still making his defense, an angry crowd drug him outside the city gates and stoned him. And Saul was there, giving approval to what was happening, inciting the crowd to do Stephen in, holding the cloaks of those who were throwing the stones. On that day, a great persecution started against the church. And it was led by none other than Saul. People from the synagogue were questioned, and if anyone in the synagogue believed in Jesus, Saul would take their names. And then there would be a knock at your door at night. He would be accompanied with temple guards, and they would haul you off to prison to be tortured and interrogated, your house ransacked, your children left crying and frightened. Naturally, we were all afraid of this same thing happening to us, so many of us fled to other cities in Judea and Samaria. I fled to Damascus because I had family there. And I thought I would be safe outside of Israel, but Saul got word that there are believers in Damascus, and so he received permission from the chief priest to go to Damascus to arrest people who believed in Jesus and bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. We received news that Saul was on his way to Jerusalem, and we were terrified. I was praying fervently, and as I prayed, the Lord called out to me in a vision, "Ananias." I said, "Yes, Lord." And then the Lord told me, "Go to the house of Judas, who lives on Straight Street, and ask for a man named Saul from Tarsus. For he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias, who will lay his hands on him and restore his sight." I said, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man, about what he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and that he's coming here to Damascus to do the same thing to us." I did not want to go to Saul. That would be like a lamb walking into the den of a wolf. But the Lord said to me, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to bring my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before my people Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." I did not want to do what the Lord said, but I did it because the Lord said it. And though I was fearful, I was obedient. I left the consequences of what might happen to the Lord. I trusted he had a plan. I trusted that I was somehow part of it. And I knew we are always better off doing what the Lord said. I learned that from my encounter with Saul, that we have to do what the Lord says, even if it's difficult. The other things I learned that struck me about what the Lord said, he said, "He is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel." Saul? God's instrument? Saul hated the church. Saul hated Christ. How is he going to be the Lord's instrument? But I learned that day that God is gracious. If he could call a man who persecuted the church and was actually an accomplice in the murder of a saint, then God could forgive anyone. And if Christ could bring Saul into relationship with himself, then there is no one outside the grace of God. As it turned out, he was God's chosen instrument. He was highly educated. He knew the scriptures. His lucid mind could reason and argue. His relentless zeal was applied to the advancement of the gospel, and his Roman citizenship and his mastery of Greek enable him to travel and minister throughout the empire with ease. As you know, Luke, no one has advanced the gospel more than the Apostle Paul. Another thing struck me about Saul. The Lord said about him, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. You know, we all suffer for his name. There are people who reject us because we believe in Jesus. We've lost income and business because of Jesus. And even though we know his joy and his peace, we still suffer for his name. I once heard Saul say, it has been granted to us on behalf of Christ to not only believe on him, but to also suffer for him. Saul certainly suffered for Christ. Damascus, they tried to kill him, and then he went to Jerusalem, and they tried to kill him there. He was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. He was beaten and imprisoned in Philippi, imprisoned in Ephesus, imprisoned in Caesarea, carried to Rome in chains on a ship and shipwrecked, and now imprisoned in Rome. Luke, you know how much he suffered. We all know how much we suffer for his name. And now, back to my story. I went to the house the Lord told me about. I asked for Saul. He was expecting me. And at first, there was fear as I entered the house. This man was a monster by all accounts. And then, upon seeing him, I saw a small man weeping, praying, with something like scales covering his eyes. I felt compassion for him, and the Lord bore witness to my spirit that he belonged to the Lord. So I went to him, and I placed my hands on him, and I said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I prayed, Lord Jesus, give Saul his sight, fill him with your spirit. And then something like scales fell away from his eyes and he could see. He asked that he be baptized immediately. And so I, along with some brothers, baptized him. After he took some food and gathered his strength, I asked him, what happened to you on the way to Damascus? We heard that you were coming here to arrest us. And Saul told me what happened. He said that he was full of hate. He saw Pharisaical Judaism being threatened by belief in Jesus because we were doing away with all the Pharisaical laws. He thought we were blasphemers because we called Jesus the Son of God. He heard that the gospel had come to Damascus. Damascus is a hub for trade caravans throughout the empire. And so he had to stamp out the faith. Damascus, lest it spread. While he was just outside a city, he saw a bright light, so bright it blinded him and knocked him to the ground. And then he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul answered, Who are you, Lord? And the voice answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Jesus is so intimately tied in union with his church, so intimately tied to us, that when we suffer and are persecuted, he is persecuted. Jesus also spoke to him a Greek proverb that Saul knew. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. You know that stick we use to goad cattle along? Jesus had been prodding Saul, but Saul was resisting. Saul knew about the empty tomb. Saul heard about what happened at Pentecost. Saul knew that the lame man was healed. He saw Stephen die with the face of an angel saying, "I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, forgiving his murderers." And Saul kept asking, why do these people continue to believe despite prison and torture? And secretly in his heart, he wondered, is this true? But he resisted, and he conjured up even more anger to resist. I find that Jesus goads us all the time. He goads us away from sin and towards his will. And sometimes we are like Saul, where we keep resisting until we have to be knocked to the ground. It's always better to move when Jesus goads you, lest the goads be increasingly painful. Jesus then said to Saul, "Get up and go into the city. You'll be told what you must do." And since he was blind, he had to be led into the city by his hand. They brought him to the house of Judas, and he was there for 3 days, praying and fasting. And during that time, he humbled himself before the Lord. He repented of his sin, repented of his hate, repented of his unbelief. He was a broken man, decided that he would surrender to Jesus, and that he would do whatever Jesus asked him to do. He was told in a vision that a man named Ananias would come, lay his hands on him to restore his sight. And that's where our stories came together. Saul spent several days with us in Damascus. I embraced him as a brother, just as we should embrace all who are one with us in Christ. And right away, Saul began to preach in the synagogues, declaring that Jesus was the Christ. People who heard him were astonished. They said, "Isn't this the man who was raising havoc back in Jerusalem on those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to arrest those who believe in Jesus?" And yet, Saul was powerful. He baffled the Jews and proved to them that Jesus was the Messiah. I learned a lot from my encounter with Saul. Looking back, I'm amazed at God's grace. That God could forgive a murderer, a terrorist. Christ came to a person who was actually his enemy and blasphemed his name and forgave him and made him an instrument of his gospel. No wonder Saul was so in love with Jesus. He had been forgiven much and had drunk deeply of God's grace. I'm also impressed by Saul's repentance and his commitment to Christ. When confronted with his sin, he repented. When called to serve Christ, he said yes. And his commitment was not easy. He immediately did whatever he could do to advance the gospel. And I'm also glad I obeyed Jesus instead of my fear. When Jesus first told me to go to Saul, I was afraid. I did not want to do it. It sounded suicidal. Turn yourself into the man who wants to kill you? But I've learned that God's will is always good. He has a reason for everything he asks of us, even if we don't see it. If I had refused to obey, I would have been cheated out of the greatest joy of my life. God has joy for us on the other side of obedience. And because of Saul, I never give up hope on those who are outside of faith in Christ. No one was so opposed to Christ as Saul, and yet Christ drew him to himself and brought him to faith. Salvation doesn't depend on our promising inclinations. It depends on Christ who pursues and saves. And so I keep praying for those who do not know Christ, no matter how far away they seem, because it depends on Christ. I didn't see Saul again for 3 years. He went away to the desert of Arabia to study the scriptures, and Christ himself taught him. He came back to Damascus after that time, and he started to preach. The Jews hatched a plan to kill him, and so we had to get him out of the city. And one night, the night we chose for his escape, the city gates were locked and watched. And so we lowered Saul down the city walls in a basket. He went on to Jerusalem from there, and I heard they wanted to kill him there too. Now, Luke, if you see Saul, you give him greetings from Ananias. Tell him, I thank God for him, for all the things he is doing to advance the gospel. And tell him the things I've learned from him. To obey God, regardless of our fear and reluctance. And to rejoice always in his grace. I hope through that book you're writing, Luke, that all of us will learn from Saul as well. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. It came to us. You drew us. You goaded us. And so we thank you. That was mercy. Lord, we may be aware of your goading right now. Let today be the day we say, yes, Lord. And we stop kicking against the goads. We surrender. Lord, you may be calling us to something. We pray that our obedience would override our fear. And we surrender ourselves as your instrument to respond as your Spirit leads us. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.